And I guess I have advertised on Facebook. I hope that you have read the John Gospel for this week. There's a lot of, there's 15 verses here. So please pray for me as we go through it. I hope that we can go through. There's a lot of things that we can uncover from there. I guess by now, if you have been reading John, then you should know that there's a lot of testimony in John. It's testimonies after testimony. And that's, so the objective for this is for nothing, it's just to help, hopefully that you will believe. You will keep believing. People who have not believed, they will believe. People who are followers will keep believing on that. That's the whole objective of John. Now, I reckon that with 15 verses to go through, going through each verses at a time, it's probably going to take quite a fair bit of time. So what I'm trying to do today is that, why not I set a stage for you first? I set up a stage for you so that we can look through a play of these 15 verses of this a testimony of John and how he actually set up the whole thing and to give his testimony. I hope that by putting it this way, it will be much more clearer and also can really help me to reduce some time. At the same time, I need your help. I need you to pray for me and pray for yourself as we go through the scripture today. Now let's go through, the first thing that is go through that we need to look at in this testimony of John the Baptist. We have to look at this map, the location of the map. It's at Bethany. The whole debates today is going to happen in Bethany, which is not far away from Jerusalem. So what happens is that you're going to see this map very often as we go through each testimony week after week, because you're going to see the journey of Jesus. Journeys of Jesus picking up disciples, healing people, seeing wonders and signs all the way through Galilee and come back to the temple. So it happens today, and the whole story for today, it happens over 2 days. And I'm going to share with you in less than half an hour. That's impossible. 2 days of story that's going to happen in today's 15 verses. And what happened is that, as you can see from the start of the verses, you have John the testimony. John testimony, as I said before in the last week, it was John the Baptist. John the baptizer, not the Baptist denomination, but the baptizer. He went around baptized people, and the Jews from Jerusalem. There's only mainly two characters in there. But if you look through, of course, you can pick up Holy Spirit, you can pick up other people in the crowd, you can pick up Jesus as well. But if you look at that, they were the two main star in this testimony. And Jesus, for this case, he was introduced, he was the one on trial. And John was the one who is giving that witness, giving that testimony. But Jesus did not say a word this time. And the Holy Spirit appeared as another witness for Jesus. But again, there's no voice from there. So I leave them out for now, but we're going to focus on these two. All right? So who is this John? Who is this John the Baptist that we have been making a fuss about? And right from the very beginning of the first chapter, 18 verses, it mentioned twice. And now we come to it. Now, John, first of all, John emphasized. This is what his emphasis. I am not Christ. That's the first testimony. I am not Christ. Straightforward, clear cut. I'm not God. I'm not the Messiah. You see all they have done. I am not him. So that's not him, or that's his testimony. And who is this? And Jesus called him the greatest man that ever lived. Have you ever been commented like this? Jesus commented, he is the greatest man who ever lived. Wow. What a high recommendation. How would you like this on your CV when you look for a job? The greatest man, the greatest employer in the world. And he's the last Old Testament prophet and the first New Testament preacher. Now, we go into a bit details about here first. Now, why do we call him the last prophet of the Old Testament and the first preacher of the New Testament? It was because between the Old Testament and the New Testament, there was a silence of 400 years. all right, in history. Now, silence not meaning that God has disappeared, God take a vacation out for 400 years. No. It was saying that there was no prophet, there's no words going to the Israelite. There's normally when they receive the word of God, they have to go through a prophet. So for this case, in 400 years, there's nothing. So the last prophet that all they received was Malachi. So that was 400 before the New Testament. Now he came on as a New Testament preacher. He came on to prophesy the coming of the Messiah. And he was recognized in Jesus' time as an official prophet, even though when he was called, "Are you a prophet?" He said, "No, I'm not." You know, but everybody recognized him as a prophet because he came, he has a revelation from God. And the preaching that he preached, I wish that we can, all preachers now, that we can preach the same thing and say, "Repent, the kingdom is near." That's the only one sentence they ever need to preach. I guess if every single Sunday I come here and say the same thing to you, you'll be bored of me. But somehow, the message carried power. It carried courage to his own people. And then, he was not very popular. He was famous, but not popular. Why? Because he called his own people, the Israelites, "You're a bunch of snakes. You're a loser. You know? You're wicked." So that's how he was. Now then, one thing that we need to know about him, he has a priestly heritage. His father was a high priest, Zechariah, mother Elizabeth. He was a cousin of Jesus. So coming from this priestly heritage, it gives him a very powerful credential, isn't it? So if you want to find someone to give you witness, who would you call? You will find someone who is reliable, someone with credit. Someone who is trustworthy, right? In this case, John Baptist was the first contestant, was the first witness that Apostle John, the author, was trying to put on the stand. Now, another character we need to look at is the Jewish delegation team. It was a team of people, not just one people, the Jewish delegation team. What do I call that? When you read the first verse 19 just now, you say that Jewish from Jerusalem. Now, Jerusalem is the HQ of the Jewish religion. Now, and then the people who were in power were called the Sanhedrin. They were a Jewish council, consists of 70 people. And who are these people? These people are mainly high priests, retired priests, or chief priests. And they were the people they were the elites. They were the politicians of the Jewish world. They were the critics of the Old Testament. They were the finance controller of the temple. And most of all, they were the lawmaker. They decide what law, whether you wear a mask or not. They were the one who decide. All right? And when you look through the whole of God's Gospel of John, you will never miss the expression of the author of saying the Jew, over 60 times. Every single time, the author was trying to express that these people are hostile to Jesus. So you read through John, this exciting thing. Now we get through, now we got through all this, set the stage. Let's get to the play. And we walk through the play and see how it goes. And then very fast, the first part, he says that, "Who are you?" That's the very first question that this delegation, this Jewish delegation team asks. "Who are you? Are you Elijah?" They pose a series of questions. "Are you prophet? Are you Elijah?" And the answer is simply no. But why do they ask Elijah and prophet? Now this is a very common thing. Whenever when the Jews ask about Elijah and prophet, they mean the same thing. Are you the Messiah? So John understood what they were asking. So the answer is no, I'm not. I'm not Elijah. I'm not the prophet. All right? I'm just a voice. I'm here to make the way for the Lord. He's a way maker. That's what he's trying to say. But Elijah, why Elijah? First of all, Elijah was the last prophet that was mentioned in the last book of the Old Testament before the voice of the prophet was silenced. Malachi said, Elijah will come before the Lord. So that's why they know that this is the prophet Elijah that will come. So John said, John the Baptist said, I'm not. But why? But in Matthew, Jesus clearly said, John is the Elijah who was to come. And Elijah's already come, and he said that he's John the Baptist. Why did Jesus say that? Jesus said yes, John himself said no. Wow, just contradict. Now, Jesus didn't mean that Elijah came in person. What Jesus meant was, we can find in Luke, where Jesus said, John the Baptist has the spirit and power of Elijah. So what Jesus was trying to say is that, look at this John the Baptist. He go around baptizing people. He was so bold. He was so courageous. And the preaching that he preached was so powerful. He was fearless. He has the spirit and power of Elijah to preach what people don't dare to preach. To say or tell people what people don't like to hear. He was in that generation. And look at what he's doing. Making ready a people, not one people. A people means a group of people. Prepare for the Lord. Who is these people in this case? The Israelites. So John the Baptist was specially called to make the way for the Israelite to meet Jesus. So to prepare the way when Jesus comes. So he comes in the spirit and power. That's what it means. Now, how about the prophet? When they mention, who are you? Are you the prophet? Now, I think they neglected the Old Testament. I think they can relate very well, because in the Old Testament, in Deuteronomy chapter 18, it says that a prophet like Moses will raise up. God will raise up a prophet like Moses. Now, everybody know that this prophet like Moses is going to be a savior. Something good, someone is going to be related to the savior. In some other version of the Bible, they have the capital P, which directly channel and tell you that this is God. This is the savior to come. But then it's not very clear until you reach Acts and Acts 3 and Acts 7. You look at the two sermons between Peter and Stephen's sermon, you'll find they were referring to Jesus Christ. So this prophet was referring to Jesus. But they asked. So they were referring to the Messiah. So that's why they asked, John, are you the Messiah? And the answer is no. I'm a way maker. I'm just here to make the way. And that's it. So that is the series of questions that was posed. Now, but why did they ask all those questions? When you look at those questions, are you the Messiah, all these things. Now they come and say, then why are you baptizing people? So in their mind, only people with authority like the Savior, the Messiah, the Christ, can baptize people. But here he said, then if you're not either one of them, then why are you baptized? So John simply just replied, say, I baptize in water. What does that mean? It's just a symbol. The water of baptism I'm giving to people is just a symbol for God's people, to prepare God's people, and tell them you need to repent before God comes. You are a sinner. You have to be observed. So that baptism was just an external symbol of their will to repentance. It's not going to clean you. But John said, look, the one that you're looking for, which is not me, is among you. And that person is walking among, I don't know him, you don't know him, I don't know where he is right now. I'm not even worthy of touching his feet. That's how low. Church, what do you see from here? From John the Baptist. He could have taken all the credit for himself, though. Yeah, I am the Christ. Yeah, I am. He became one of the cult in history. But no. He decided to go so low and tell people that I'm not even worthy to touch his feet. That's humility. Humility of a servant of God. People who want to serve the Lord. People who want to serve the community. That's the humility you need to have. If you want to serve something, you can't see yourself as, oh, I'm better than you. You got to go so low, lower than the person, so that in order to serve someone. That's what I mean. Then day two. We come to day two. Now, this time, John saw Jesus. Wow. How would you like you saw Jesus with your own eye? But I don't know whether he waved to him or said. He just said, look, the Lamb of God. take away the sin of the world. Look, the waymaker John the Baptist introducing another waymaker, and it's, look, I said, look, this is the ultimate waymaker. You want to get to God, you got to go to him, the Lamb of God. That's what it means. They all understood when they said about Lamb of God. All right. So, and then John gave a reason. I come here to baptize you so that you can be, so that the Son of God, the Lamb of God can be revealed to you. The Savior can be revealed to you so that you know who he is. But the Lamb of God is not something that the Jews was thinking, having in mind. It was not on his, Lamb was not on his, on their wish list at that moment. Because they felt that they were being bullied, they were being forced down. Their country was gone. They were controlled by governed by the Roman, and they don't like it. So they're expecting something more. They want a king. They want something almighty and powerful to come and help them and rescue them. But no, they didn't expect a lamb. A lamb is weak. A lamb is meant to be slaughtered. A man is lamb to be sacrificed, not a savior like this. That's not on their wish list. So, and you can see, when you start from here, John also wants to give us his testimony. Why is it so important when he introduced Jesus as a Lamb of God? There's two criteria to be a savior. This is the first criteria. You have to be the Lamb of God, because without being the Lamb of God, you can't take away people's sin. You can't give the sacrifice. So Jesus come for the first time as the Lamb of God. Then at the end, when he come for the second time, he's going to come as the Lion of Judah. That's the difference. All right? Lamb of God means come, I come and sacrifice for your sin. I die for you on the cross for your sin, for your sake, so that you can have a life in me. Then they neglected. They neglected all this. Prophet Isaiah is already long said before that. You know, the Savior is going to come like a lamb to be slaughtered. That's already prophecy. I think neglected about this. Then the second criteria for to be a Savior is that you have to receive the anointing of the Holy Spirit, of God's Spirit. So two things, to be the Lamb of God and anointing of the Spirit. You can be a Lamb of God, but no anointing, then you can't be a Savior. You can have an anointing to do something, but if you're not the Lamb to be called, then you're not a Savior. So these two things have to come together. And John gave a very powerful statement and said, look, all right, I see it with my own eyes. I never seen the Holy Spirit before. I felt it before, but I never seen it. But he said he's seen it. Came down on Jesus. Remain on him. Why? How can you see it? Because he was the one who baptized Jesus. Remember? All right? And then he said that God has given him a revelation long time ago. You know, when you see the sign, the reason I send you to baptize people so that you can see a sign. That sign is when you see a man having the Holy Spirit come down and remain on him, and he is the one going to baptize others with the Holy Spirit. That's the Messiah. Church, so far we did very well. The testimony of John the Baptist, that's why he said, at the end he said, this is truly the Son of God. Because he's the Lamb of God, he was anointed by the Holy Spirit, he is our ticket to heaven, he is the giver of God's Spirit. Who else are you going to believe besides the Son of God? Now what can we learn from all these things? I put it in a nutshell for you. All right? John the Baptist is a way maker. He's preparing the path for the Israelites to meet Jesus. And Jesus is the ultimate way maker. He is the one that reconciles the world with God. He is the one to show us the way. If you want to get to God, you have to believe in me to receive life. He's the ultimate way maker. What they have in commonality was that of their humanity and their humility. Humanity means that you have compassion for people. Both of them have compassion for people. They might not love you, but they have compassion for people. They felt for people. Remember what John said to his people? You're a bunch of snakes. And yet he baptized them. Yeah? He still called, do what he's supposed to do. He's not happy with it, but he has compassion for people. Church, if we want to serve, this is humanity and humility. You can't live without either one of them. You have to, two of them are married together. With either one, you will hurt people. It's either you hurt God and you hurt people. All right? Humility, you've got to submit to God's purpose, not our purpose. Not to submit to somebody else's purpose, but God's purpose for the sake of that person. So that is humility. So church, what is this, all this about the way maker for us? Remember, we have been called. We have been commissioned to go. We have been commissioned as a way maker. So, what are we doing here today? I close this with giving you a picture. Between the first coming and the second coming, we are caught, the church are caught in the interim period. And we are called to go, to be a way maker for our community, to be a way maker for people to come to God. And what are we doing here in this interview? We are actually preparing people to welcome Jesus for his second coming. That's what we are doing here today. That's what is so important, critical, that we are the way maker. We become a way maker. If you have not come to Christ today, this is the opportunity. Now, in Chinese, there's a philosophy. Whenever there's crisis, there's opportunity. Look at the crisis we have today. With crisis around, there's opportunity for you to meet Christ. If you are first time on our screen, looking at us, coming on our live stream, I welcome you. But I welcome you to look us up. Give me a call. Find my contact. You can find our details online. Give us a call. I'd love to pray with you and have a chat with you and tell you more about Jesus. And for people who have been following Jesus, we are the way maker. So have compassion for people, be humble to God, and continue to serve. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for all this opportunity. We thank you that you put us in this situation and allowing us to see that we such a grace upon grace to be your way maker. To what an honor, an unworthy people like us, undeserving people who receive grace and yet are able to be your way maker, show people to you. Father, I just ask that your spirit will move before us as we make way for people in this crisis situation, that we are able to comfort people, able to serve people, able to show them who is the Son of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now the next song